Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Welcome into Wilde and Tausch. I am Mark Tauscher. I am not hosting the show today. I know Homer always tries to get me to. Did it last week with Joe Thomas. Jason keeps getting some good vacation, well-deserved. But Homer's a professional. He's a three-time Emmy Award winner, I think. He is our cousin sub today. Homer, how are you?
I'm okay. Oh, you'll do it with Joe Thomas, but not with me.
Well, you're a pro. Yeah, this is what you do.
I'm 70 years old.
All you care about, Homer, is more airtime. You've complained that you only get an hour now, and now you're on here for 3 hours and you're going to fight me?
This is one day.
I know, and it's going to be a beautiful day. I am up in Green Bay.
I told them when I would fill in, I said, I'm not doing the show.
What do you mean?
What about that don't you understand?
Well,
I said I'm not leading the show. Tausch is doing the show.
Okay, well,
I'm just a Tausch.
You know, we'll figure out.
If you aren't up to it, then I will fill in for you.
Okay, fine. We'll figure it out. How's that? I am.
There's nothing to figure out. It's not like we have to have a meeting. It can be decided in 2 seconds. No, I don't do meetings. They know that when they ask me to fill in.
Okay, well, you know what? You just do you.
That's fine. I'll do it as a favor to you. So that's fine. I don't know what about Homer said he'll fill in for Jason, but he's not doing the show. They would have said, look it. But anyway, it's over. I'm doing the show. All right. But then they have this list of things. Do I have to go by that list? Look, here's what I want to talk about. This assistant coach who's now left to go to Jacksonville. And now he's the greatest coach in the world. And yet, explain this to me. I have sold Cooper as being so good. Well, not once in the year did anybody say, Homer, hold on. They said he's young. They not once said, you got to understand who's coaching that position. They got some guy there. Nobody ever mentions it. Now that he's gone, he's done this and this and this. As I heard about various coaches, offensive line coaches, camp, whatever, people covering the team would say, as they did with Andy Reid, nothing, now he's gone, now all of a sudden he's good? Why would no one mention about how much better they were at that position because of the coach if he's that important? Which, of course, I don't believe he is, but...
All right, here's the deal. Yes. How many times, and I remember doing the show with you after one of the games, a postseason game.
Yeah.
You didn't even know who the offensive line coach was. I brought up Adam Stenovich, and I might as well have been talking to you about like some hip TikTok.
No, video. I know who Stenovich is.
You didn't then.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Fine. Say I did. That's good.
Most fans, we are kind of conditioned to look at it from a head coach, general manager, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. We're not dialed in to every little detail about which assistant coach does this. And now there's so many different coaches. So I think we look at it, and unless a coach gets fired, like Rebrovich, the defensive line, because it was a disappointing season, we don't really discuss and get into it. The point on this is here's somebody that after a year, Jeff Hafley came in, and I had got all kind of arguments this week about, well, you know, if the defense is good enough and blah, 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 blah. Bottom line is the defense was good enough to win games. This defense now, a linebackers coach, Campanelli, he is so sought after that in one interview he gets hired as the DC at Jacksonville.
Duval. It is
a big deal because Edgerrin Cooper is emerging. You have a young player that is, you know, ascending and excited to be out there. Everybody's fired up on his development. And you always worry when you change things and they're ascending and going in the right direction, just like Detroit is probably concerned on both of their ends because you don't know how that's going to shake out.
Those are coordinators, not position
coaches,
sir.
It is, but there's also, but you know, there's assistant coaches go with those coordinators. You end up losing a bunch. And the bottom line is, Homer, I spent as a player 98% of my time. I know you say 98% isn't the 98% of my time was with James Campen and or Larry Bechtel when they were my O-line coach. That's who my relationship is. That's where I grew as a player. That was who my direct report was. Then it was the offensive coordinator, limited less, and then the head coach. So while they have a bigger purview of the team, when you're looking at how can we get better, how are you going to develop players, position coaches matter. So, yes, it's not the same sexy thing as if, you know, Jeff Hafley left. It would be everybody be up in arms. That's not where we're at today, but I think the fact that we saw some strides in that linebacker group and he's gone now, are we going to continue to see those strides? That's the story, and that's why people are feeling that way.
Yeah, and they're overselling it just as you are, unless you're willing to tell me that Campen and Bechtel, as good as they were, made you. If they had not been your coaches, you would not have been.
I don't know. Listen, Steve, I can't tell you that for sure, but what I will say is those guys believing in me and giving me that opportunity and helping me develop was a big part of my NFL career. That I definitely could tell you. So,
but you'd have had a coach. You'd have had coaches at other teams, other situations that it would have fundamentally done the same. I'm not saying Campanelli doesn't have some significance. I'm saying it's totally oversold because not once when I mentioned Cooper and I mentioned him every game, did anybody say who covers the team? And I mean all of them. You know, Homer, hold it. They said hold it because he's young. Never once said they got a special guy there working with this group. Not once.
That's fair.
Not one person.
Homer, that's fair, but I'm going to tell you this.
Right. Yes.
The way the season went and as the offseason goes, in season, nobody is really, other than maybe if you do a feature on Edgerrin Cooper and he starts talking about Campanelli and how great of a coach he is, maybe then you'll start taking it. Nobody is curious about that stuff in season. It's the
point. Are you going to really say that? I'm covering the team. Hold on. I'm covering the team. I'm going to wonder why this guy is so good. Why the Cooper's so good. Or why these other guys.
He wasn't that good. He didn't play a ton until the end of the season.
Well, no, it's not just him. It's the positions, the way they don't mention
nobody
him.
Nobody was saying that about Quay Walker. Nobody was saying, boy, is Quay awesome. We need to find – nobody was saying that.
See, what do you mean? You missed the season? There were four games when he supposedly played like the best he'd ever played in his whole career. That was the topic of discussion.
And also, to be fair
– and never once was Campanelli's name ever mentioned.
Homer – here's the deal, and you've done this longer than I've been alive. Everybody talks about the quarterback and the head coach and the GM. That is where most of the oxygen goes. Green Bay, the defensive coordinator, a brand new coordinator.
Yes.
That is where all of the conversation went. Nobody was delving into how the safeties coach was doing. Nobody even mentioned about Rebrovich until he got fired. Matter of fact, most Packers fans wouldn't have even known.
Well, no, and that makes me think that's a joke, too, in terms of the importance.
But it's not a joke. Homer, I'm not sitting here telling you it's as important as having a starting quarterback playing at a high level. I'm not saying that. That obviously is the big trump card. But these supplemental pieces add up. And if you don't have the right guy, all of a sudden things can go south. So there is it from a player standpoint. I'm not talking about from a media or from a fan standpoint. A player spends 95 to 98% of your time with this coach. This is who you're scheming with, who you're working your fundamentals with, who you're developing with, who you gain trust with. And then they put you in. GMs will tell you a certain thing, but the coaches have to trust you're going to be the guy to play. So that's where that importance comes. That's the relationship that matters.
Right. For and most there are of these 100 players. Of these guys. All right, here's what I say. I think it's 80% players, 15% coordinators, and 5% coach. All right, your success in the NFL, what percentage was you and what percentage was your position coaches?
Oh, boy. I mean, yeah, I don't think you're far off on that. It comes down to players. And, Homer, it comes – you brought this up. I am not saying it's the end-all, be-all. There is going to be a new coach, and they're going to do a good job or they're going to get fired. That's how the NFL works. But I am saying there are – do you think the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line is going to be as good if Stoutman – I think his name's Stoutman – is the offensive line coach
or almost the difference will be minimal.
See, and it is the techniques and the, I mean, players always trump everything else. You can give me five really good offensive linemen, but if they don't know what they're asked to be done and the scheme isn't executed, it ain't going to look right. And it's not going to be successful. So that's going to be those are kind of your differences. And I think it is overblown. Certainly, the day after he gets it. And I'm going to guess right now, when it gets to be March, you're not even going to remember Campanelli's name. The only reason you is because it's kind of a fun name to finish, Campanelli.
No,
it is going to be the next step. And then my guess is in August, you come on our show. I'll ask you, hey, Homer, who is the new who's the new linebackers coach? I think you're going to struggle to know when they make this hire.
I won't know unless the people covering the team make mention of how good someone is. Here's the reason I brought it up. Because I've been giving Goody a lot of credit. I said it's the most positive thing, his recent drafts with Cooper. Well, maybe it isn't Goody. Maybe the only reason Cooper's good is this spectacular position coach, Campanelli. So I'm giving credit to Goody that he doesn't really deserve, because without Campanelli, Cooper wouldn't be what he is. Or Cooper and Bullard and Evans, Williams. The only reason they're so good as rookies is because of their position coaches.
So,
and I think that's crap. But
all of it goes together. I would agree. I'm not going to say it's crap. I'm going to tell you this. Players matter. Talent matters.
Yeah.
Then, but Homer, you know this. The difference
then the
in
coordinator
winning and losing
matters.
The winning and losing in the NFL is razor's edge. Everybody's got talent. How do you
no,
utilize
they don't.
It?
No, they don't. That's
oh, yeah,
not
they
true.
Do.
They don't. No.
Every
the difference in
okay,
the teams
Homer,
is
hold
the
up
talent.
A second.
What?
Homer, Washington's
you're telling
talent
me Tennessee has the same talent as Philadelphia and Kansas City?
Do you think Washington has as much talent as Philadelphia or Kansas City?
No, they're close because quarterback is the most important, and they have a very good young quarterback. So, yes,
you can flip it, and the scheme and what they asked him to do meshed well. They overproduced. Coaching is about getting overproduction from your talent. Everybody has talent. Is it all the same? No.
But you
coaching,
can't get overproduction
Homer,
for very long.
Why did Belichick win six? Was it because of Tom Brady, or is it because Tom Brady didn't light up every Super Bowl? Bill Belichick understood what it took to win. He got his guys that fit the system. They were never the most talented team. How many times do you look at their most talented teams fell short of winning championships? So to act as if coaching, I don't know what we're even – I think we're saying the same thing. You're being
– No, we're you bring up Belichick, fine. I'm bringing up the over – exaggeration of the importance of position coaches. Yes, the head coach is most important. The coordinators and the position coaches are never brought up by the people who follow the team on a daily basis, or if they do, for example, not once did I ever hear anybody who covers the team say, you know the problem with the defensive line? The defensive line coach. Never brought up.
Maybe
so my point is...
So, okay, Homer, all right, if the defensive line, they pick up one draft pick, next year they're star-spangled awesome.
Yes.
Are you going to say coaching matters that much more?
No, I'm going to say it's all players. Because I'm going to go by, for example,
it'll be the same players, though. That's my point. You're going to get a litmus test of this.
Like, if it occurs, excited. I would lean toward the coordinator before the line coach, as it should appropriately be done.
Hmm.
Right?
I don't know. I think the coordinator is the same. The only variable you're changing is the defensive line coach. And if all of a sudden the production skyrockets, is it, well, they're in the second year, they understand the scheme more? Is it these players, Van Ness and some of these younger players, are developing? Rashawn Gary just is healthier. Like, we don't know, but I'm telling you right now, if that happens, everybody is going to look at it and say, well, a different coach, different production, boom, 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 and everybody would be excited about that. That is, I guess, the kind of the quandary we're in.
When's the last time a portion of the team did well and they went, hey, you know, the key is the position coach? The only time it has ever happened in my covering would be the offensive line coach.
Oh, I don't know.
What players talked about camping.
I think
how good he was.
I think you've seen that with running backs. I think you've seen that.
Clements has been given a little credit as well.
Clements got a ton. I think the receiving coach, it's just when your position group is incredibly productive, you reap the benefits of that. When they are not, you get fired.
Right. Who gets the most credit? The GM for the drafting, the head coach, especially if it's an offensive guy, and then the coordinator,
of course.
Receivers coach. That's just above the equipment manager. Come on.
Here's the deal for everybody that is listening. You don't think coaching matters as much as
I think it matters, but there's a tier.
You think that you could coach the pitching team for the Brewers? You could be the hitting coach.
No, I could be the hitting coach because the hitting coach is a waste of time. I never have said pitching coach ever. I've said hitting coach because no hitting coach has ever been good. It's an impossible. It's like me being the coach of stopping snow in Wisconsin. You're going to fail. No one can do it. No one can be the hitting coach. No one has succeeded in 50 years, maybe one person. So it's impossible. I could have been the quarterback's coach for Aaron Rodgers because, Rodgers, you handle everything. I'll get you coffee.
All right.
And that would have been Aaron Rodgers, and he would have been fine.
All right. This gives you a pretty good window into where Homer's at. I think it's the news of the day. That's why we're talking about it. I'm with you. I don't think this is some monument. I heard Jason on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, and he made it out like this was a big blanket deal. For today, it is. But is Edgerrin Cooper's production and development going to be stunted because this coach? If he is, that means he's not that good.
Yes,
and that means Matt LaFleur hasn't hired. So for anyone that is, and I thought Jason overreacted, but he obviously sees that there's some development. I think Matt LaFleur is going to hire a really good coach. I think it's going to allow.
He's
going to
hire the guy already on the staff that worked.
Whatever,
with
I'm saying, Edgerrin Cooper's future is not tied to whoever. Edgerrin Cooper's future is going to be: is he going to really pick up every nuance of what this defense is and play unimpeded? Because last year there was too many alignment errors. That's why he didn't play earlier. Everybody sees his talent. Everybody, when they picked him second round, thought, what a steal. It certainly looks that way. And I do believe, even though old boy just left for Jacksonville, that should not change what we expect from Edgerrin Cooper. And that's really what this thing comes down to. There's a little window into the coaching. And today is the last day. Happy New Year means a lot of rough days ahead for those who suffer from seasonal affective disorder. Plenty of gray and frigid days on the horizon. We just want to be snuggly and warm at home. Pella can make your home as beautiful on the outside as it is comfortable on the inside. Celebrate the new year with zero interest for 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Hurry up. You got until today. You got till midnight tonight. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more. Certain restrictions do apply. There's something else that has come up, and I know we have Jason joining us at 9:30. Homer doesn't want to take the lead. That's fine. I got this, Steve. You sit back and sit on your coffee and smoke your cigarette or whatever else you're doing.
Do your ears need to be checked? Let's go back, run the tape in which I said I will run the show as a favor to Tausch. Those were my exact words. What about that? Didn't you hear?
The fact that you're.
What about that? Didn't you hear? Did you object at that moment?
Yes. I'm insulted that you owe me a favor.
Now what do you want to do? Now what do you want to do? What, you're going to take over now? Okay,
well,
all right.
I didn't realize someone that's hosted radio for 72 years is such an off-putting, oh, my God, the world is coming to an end. I got this. We're going to hit on a couple other things. There's something that on Jim, Matt, and Molly, Evan Cohen brought up yesterday about ranking the big three, because basically what Homer's saying is the position coaches don't matter. It is quarterback, GM, and coach is how you're going to succeed in the NFL. We're going to get Homer's thoughts on that next. It's Wildy and Tausch. You just do your
That's fine. I'll do it as a favor to you. So that's fine. I don't know what about Homer said he'll fill in for Jason, but he's not doing the show. They would have said, look it. But anyway, it's over. I'm doing the show. All right.
No, he's not. That is
Thank
Steve
you.
The Homer true. Filling
were you
in
on
me.
At that time? Were you on at that time, sir?
Yeah,
were you
I was
listening?
On.
Oh,
super
did we miss the response he had of no, I'll do it? Oh, wait. Uh-huh. You did
as a favor.
God, I wish I was a Hall of Famer. Oh,
bang! I don't want to put Homer out where he's just working too
run
hard.
With it, buddy.
We're going to get Homer.
Thank you.
We'll get Homer.
Thanks, producer. I owe you breakfast at Ted's.
I know he's used to hosting a 30-minute show and not a 3-hour one, so we'll give him a break today.
Nice.
Homer, Riley just told me that somebody called in and said you're a complete buffoon for thinking you could be the hitting coach as the Brewers hitting coach left for the Royals and helped them win a championship. What do you say about that?
Again, anybody has it for 1 year. I want to emphasize, as I said on Twitter, you could too. This is not just me. I've stated the position is impossible. It's a waste of time.
No.
Yes, you could. Well,
no,
I mean, because no one succeeds. People have had 1 year, but it isn't consistent, so that 1 year is a fluke.
Yeah, I mean, we just disagree. I think
fine, check the
part
facts.
Of it is, and Homer, part of it is here's the deal. You're not really a team sport guy. You've been a tennis guy, which is individual. Am I right?
No, you don't. No, you're wrong. I'm a smart
guy. I'm asking.
Guy. That's the issue.
No, but, Homer, you're mainly known. Obviously, you're the voice of Marquette. You're an Emmy Award winner that doesn't like hosting shows anymore. You like sitting in the passenger seat, which is annoying, but it is what it is. You're a tennis guy.
You're Fine, tennis whatever
guy.
You say.
That is. What, are you not?
That it has nothing to do with the issue. Address tennis. The issue. When you bring up other stuff, that means you don't have a defense. Hitting coaches have never, ever
Homer.
Been a success on any level of a consistent basis. There are examples of a good year, then the guy gets fired in a couple years.
Do you not believe that there are certain people that are better at teaching techniques and fundamentals about the system they're running than just some random schlub off the street?
Yes,
you really
and those
believe
players
that?
Have already had all those skills, have already had all that great coaching, so there's nothing that a hitting coach can do. If somebody has had a position in which everybody has failed on a consistent basis, everyone, for 60 years, would you not at some point think that's an impossible job because no
it's
one...
Tough.
Impossible.
It's a tough job. No, it's a tough job, but
it's
a rewarding job. Homer, if I had gotten a different O-line coach that didn't believe in me and didn't teach and demand, I don't know if I would have made it. I don't know that answer. There are variables. There's different levels of knowledge and who can do what. And so, and I just think, and this
all
isn't
right.
a
How many
at you.
Offensive line coaches did you have in Green Bay?
Three.
I would check your career and say you were pretty consistent, regardless of who the line coach was.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right, well, I rest my case.
Oh, Okay. Anyways, I am.
Wait a minute. You have three different guys. You're the same with any of the three. Does that mean, does that not mean that the coach really wasn't that big an issue? Unless you just amazingly had the three best
Homer,
line coaches in the history of the NFL.
There is a part where, and this is where I think Jason was coming from. Young players, when you're a veteran, you are who you are. You're going to learn little things. But you're the player that you're going to be. And the coaches know that, and they give you liberties. Like, you think that Stoutman is coaching Jason Kelce the same way he's coaching a rookie?
So, wait, no. All right, now, hold on. Now we're learning. So now you're telling me the coach that's important is the coach that you have when you're a young player.
It is the most important, yes.
Okay, who was your coach when you were a young player?
Larry Bechtel, Jimmy Huber at the University of Wisconsin, and I think both are obviously very well respected.
Right. I have not checked. You were a seventh round draft choice.
Yes.
Right? So yes. Were there any offensive linemen that were young like you that were a draft choice before the seventh round? And how did they do?
Cliffy. And Cliffy turned out, I think,
Packer
like Hall of Famer.
No, I mean like what? I mean like he was a second round pick or
yeah.
I'm talking about someone
that's literally what you just asked me.
Okay. So all right, we have that.
Okay, so, Homer, I guess I don't want to sit here and just argue to argue. I mean, I love arguing, but I'm not going to sit and just argue
with
you.
All right, we can move on.
Yeah, and I think we will, and I know Jason's got strong thoughts on this too, but.
Well, we got a break to get to him.
That's what I'm doing, if you would have let me, but now you want to run the show even though you tell me you don't. What is it? It is
play
annoying.
Play that segment again, please.
No,
apparently,
that's
fine. I'll do it as a favor to you.
No,
so
I'm
that's
interested.
Fine.
Hey, I'm not
I don't know what
in...
about. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you edit out Toucher's response to that? No, I'm doing it.
I'm doing the show.
How many times do we?
Hey, Badger fans! American Family Insurance wants to give you and a friend a VIP experience at a Badger football or basketball game during the upcoming season. You and a friend receive pregame sideline or courtside passes, tour of the facility, and tons of great Badger merch. Enter today at amfam.com/badgers. No purchase is necessary. Dream fearlessly. Insure carefully. Jason Wilde is going to join our show. I think he is on the road for one of his kids' many sporting events. We will talk to him about this same issue. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Starting something, the pain it subsides the minute I go. I feel like starting something. Go la 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 la. I feel like starting something. Go la 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 la. Don't you feel the attack? Yes, I am the pilot. Homer is, I don't even know if he's a, are you just a passenger today or what are we doing here?
I every segment I have to be told what I am. What actually am I now?
I know. I'm not 100% sure I know, but
right.
I know this.
Okay.
Every time my co-host is out, I appreciate him even more. Especially
that's what I'm
Homer,
here
no
to
offense.
Do.
No offense, Homer.
Offense taken.
Jason Wilde, who is a three-time sports writer of the year, a wonderful teammate, and a great co-host on Wilde and Tausch. And boy, do I miss him today. Jason, how are you this morning? Oh, my God. I don't know how anybody – Homer, I love you. I'm exhausted already.
I have
Thank
been
you.
Getting some complaints on the private – carbless talk and text line, and also via some
Pipe
social
Jim.
Media. If you guys could be a little less contentious with each other, that would be great. But
we'll
I appreciate that. You both.
Just...
We've got a very crazy weekend with our little Deion Sanders. So we're headed to Milwaukee for a gymnastics meet. Sid's competing in today, and then she's got a basketball tournament tomorrow, and then she's got a volleyball tournament on Sunday. Maddie's got a gymnastics meet on Sunday, so got a lot going on here. I'm walking the dogs, so I appreciate you guys filling the void for me. And I was watching earlier on YouTube I really enjoyed while you were walking around the new Pickler facility, very far away from the camera. That was my personal favorite.
Well, it took us a while. Yeah, it took us a while to figure some things out, but yeah, I think we've got it. We got the nice logo behind us, and we are having our grand opening tomorrow. I got a little ribbon cutting that I'm doing here at 11:30. So Homer's actually going to have to take over the entire show. But Jason,
excuse me, I'm listening to. Can I just check? Did you just say 11:30? I believed I received some.
11:40-ish.
Just sorry.
You know how ribbon cuttings. Hey, you know how ribbon cuttings go. They're typically, you know, a little bit late.
When you are cutting the ribbon, it will be whenever you want it to be. But go ahead.
I thought you said you weren't cutting the ribbon.
Well, I didn't think I was, and now I think I might be. We'll find out later. I'll make sure to chronicle that. Let's get to. I'm listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning on my drive up to Green Bay, and I hear you say something that Homer pounces on right in the beginning of the show, and that's why it did get a little contentious. You made the promotion of Campanelli into being some monster deal, and now Green Bay's defense is going to fall off the map. Tell me, can you please explain what you meant by that?
Yeah, I was. That was actually the portion of the show that I was tuned in for. And Homer, you know I love you, and again, I appreciate you filling in. I think because so much of your athletic exploits and your work has been with smaller teams, right? Whether it was you earning your tennis letter.
I covered the Packers for 10 years. I had a weekly interview with Reggie White. I was on the Brett Favre show for 7 years. I have large experience with the Packers. My comments are based on all that
time covering the team and the
discussion of position coaches.
Cool. Yeah. So a couple things.
Yes.
First of all, even during that era, which you know I loved Pack Attack, especially that time that Favre was throwing fastballs inside whatever bar restaurant you guys would do that show at. And you had the radar gun from the Milwaukee Sheriff's Department that didn't even work that day. I get it. You know football. I'm not saying you don't. You made a really good point about Ron Wolf, even though you spelled his name wrong, and Andy Reid. But that, again, that's like Old Testament. That's like Don Hutson. Like now, they got so many coaches. I mean, they brought back Luke Getsy. He's not even coaching a position. He's a senior offensive assistant.
Right, which emphasizes the insignificance of each one because now they have 100 of them.
It's just,
all right, okay.
And obviously only one of the three people on this panel, and Riley, sorry, Riley, but you didn't play in the NFL either. Only one of us has played in the league, and you heard what Tausch said earlier about James Campen and Larry Bechtel. Like, that is, like, I don't even know if I fully appreciated this until actually this year, which is crazy, right, since I've covered this team forever. But, like, I can't remember which player I was talking to, but they basically made it sound like they never talked to LaFleur. Like, that LaFleur speaks in front of the room, and then on occasion, you know, he comes to the locker room and says, hey, what's up, or whatever, but, like, you know, and then Tausch was talking about this with his decision not to do full-fledged exit interviews, that, like, you just don't talk to your head coach as often as you would think. And you being around Shaka Smart, that's incomprehensible because basketball is totally different.
They have 10 PS now 10 people as part of his staff. 10!
Right, but he's still on a player-to-player basis. He is still far more engaged every day and at every practice than LaFleur is or any NFL
coach. Then we should mention that, and everybody should know the insignificance of the head coach compared to what people think it is, which was never and has never been mentioned by a single reporter for any team in the history of the league.
Right, but I don't know if we've ever really, like, I don't know if it's ever been a topic that we discussed. Like, he's the front-facing coach, and he's the one who talks to the media, and so we assume that he is, and look, he is the most important, he's the highest paid, he's the guy that gets fired if your team underachieves, all those things. But in terms of day-to-day operations, Tausch is 1,000,000% right. It's your position coach who you spend the most time with, who is the most important to your development. And so when I said what I did about Campanile, I meant it because it is true. And I think the other part of it that's important is that when you look at this group and you look at, say, Quay Walker, for example. Now, was Quay Walker a better player this year in part because he was in a system where he could not have to read and react? He could just be aggressive? Yes. Did he also still make mistakes early in the season? Right? Especially, I remember the, I can't remember which game it was early in the year, but he basically was in the right gap and, like, intentionally ran out of the gap and missed the tackle because of it. Like, he made so many strides, and then when he hurt his ankle in Seattle, was it? He was playing the best football we had seen him play. And is Halfley part of that? Of course. Is the system part of it? Of course. But I would argue the biggest part of it was Anthony Campanile. And obviously Quay Walker himself doing the work to improve. Edgerrin Cooper, who you absolutely love. Like, you may love him more than breakfast at Ted's. But his development, he obviously has incredible raw talent. But Anthony Campanile is a huge part of getting him ready to be effective as a rookie. And if you look at what he did early in the season, I always bring this up because this is what rookies do and this is what Goody is fine with, the idea of growing pains early and living through them so they can come out on the other side. Edgerrin Cooper played in that opener against Philadelphia in Brazil. He had a tackle for loss. And then a few plays later, he completely misaligned. You can see, if you're watching the tape, Xavier McKinney and others yelling to him to tell him he's in the wrong spot. And then Saquon Barkley runs right through the spot where he's supposed to be for a touchdown. So let's not underestimate. Now, is Rome falling now because Anthony Campanile is working in Jacksonville? No. And frankly, I think Jeff Halfley, who has known Campanile for almost 20 years, even though they had never worked before together until this past season, was planning, knowing that this guy's a damn good coach, he knew that he was probably going to have to replace him at some point. So they have a guy named Sean Duggan, who was a defensive assistant, but his primary role was assistant linebackers coach, who was with Halfley at Ohio State in 19. Halfley took him with him to Boston College for the 4 years he was the head coach there. He was the coordinator, a co-defensive coordinator for a year. So I think the hope is that a guy who spent all season in that room will be ready to kind of take the mantle and continue the development of all these guys in that room. But I think this is a pretty major loss. And when you add in the fact that he was in position to potentially be the 49ers defensive coordinator, had Robert Sala not come back, and the Penn State defensive coordinator, who they also had an interest in him, I think that tells you that the guy pretty much is a pretty impressive guy to multiple people, not just me.
So we give too much credit to Halfley and more should have been given to Campanile?
No, I think it's his scheme. He's the guy calling the plays. That still matters. Just like Matt LaFleur on offense, that still matters. I think my point is in terms of the actual development. I mean, let's use your co-host today. I guess he's the pilot or the driver or whatever we're calling him. But look, he is an incredibly gifted athlete, or at least was. We'll see how much pickleball he's able to play tomorrow at his new facility. But the fact of the matter is that he developed into an outstanding NFL player, and he owes it to the guys that were his position coaches. You know, as much as he loves Mike McCarthy or Mike Sherman or whomever else, Tausch's point is right on the mark, and that is that he learned the most from Campy and from Bechtel, And those are the guys that shaped and Jim Huber at Wisconsin.
But only if you believe that they made him better than he was. I believe he would have been 90% at least as good, maybe 110% with other coaches. And he can't dispute that. Did you hear that conversation?
Again, as long as you're not a complete hack, like, say, if you had been the Brewers hitting coach, most players are probably talented enough to get a lot out of their talent. But whether or not they can maximize their talent, and maybe the 10% difference is the things they pick up. Look, you don't fire Jason Rebrovich just because that group was unproductive.
Yeah, Homer.
Yes, you do. That's exactly why it was done.
No, you don't. No, telling you don't. Because if he's a really good coach, you keep him anyway, and you say, look, this guy knows what he's doing, but it just wasn't – it didn't work this year. These guys struggled to convert to the new system. No, they clearly did not like some of the things he was doing as a coach and whether or not he was getting the most out of some pretty talented, high-priced players or high draft pick players. So, again, I'm not saying that assistant coaches – make or break the team. But when it comes to developing players and when it comes to an organization that is so hell-bent on turning over the roster and having young guys all the time, they're so important to those guys' development.
Yeah, so, and Jason, that was my point. It's one thing if your linebacker group is 5-6 years in, but the early part of guys' careers are where you get that. And I heard Chewy talking about that this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, where at some point it's like, hey, Chewy, why don't you go through this? You're going to coach guys differently. Young players learn their way by the veterans in front of them and the coaches they have when they're young players. So they got to get this right. And I think but Edgerrin Cooper, let's not kid ourselves. He's going to be a great player because he's a great player. The coaches will help get him there earlier, but the fact that it's early in his career, I kind of lean a little bit with you, but I don't think when it gets to be August, we're going to be sitting here saying, well, you know, losing Campanile really is the reason that this group isn't very good up front.
No, and again, he was the run game coordinator. They finished seventh in the league in run defense, which is still hard to believe in some ways. But the reality is that when it comes to development, those guys really matter. And to your point, they're not going to have position groups where they have all fifth or sixth year guys, because that would mean they'd all be on second contracts. And Goody's definitely not giving out many third contracts, and I don't think he's going to give out a whole lot of second ones going forward. So it is always going to be important. If you're going to be a draft and develop team, you better have a strong staff that can do the developing. And Anthony Campanile did that. Now, again, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, you guys were joking about it at the start of this. I'm not saying that they're going to go 6-11 now because Anthony Campanile left. That's not what I'm saying. But Edgerrin Cooper is talented. There's no denying it. There's also no denying that he didn't know what the hell he was doing most of the time until probably the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season, when he finally started to understand the system and know where he was supposed to go and know other people's responsibilities. And whose responsibility is it to teach him that? Anthony Campanile. And that's why it matters.
Okay.
Yeah. All right,
no,
Jason.
I'm not changing my opinion. Wow. The other person they have would do 90, if it's just going to be close to the same, maybe not. It's just, I mean, we're just not going to agree.
I defer to...
No,
wait a minute.
All right.
What?
Okay.
Wait a minute. Ahead. So first of all, I don't know if I've ever heard the two of you be that silent at the same time.
Well,
ever.
I thought Homer he's been jumping in the whole time. I had another point I wanted to bring up, but...
Well,
know,
let me just say this. Put a bow on it.
Okay.
I just want to be clear on this. When we talk about the NFL, we talk about the margins being the difference, right?
If you say
that anybody could coach that position and you'd get 90% of the same production, you're probably right, Homer.
Yeah,
but the other 10% is where it matters. Like, that's the difference between Edger and Cooper. Like, here's an example, by the way.
You're really going to go in this direction. You want to make some point of the difference of this team next year could be the change in the defensive line coach or position.
No. I'm saying.
And I want to emphasize, I think the discussion is vastly overstated. It's not even close to the difference in that 10%. That there are so many 15 other things, and the difference in that 10% more important in whatever this percent could be over the position coaches, which in fact now they have a million of them, so each of them by definition are less important than they used to be because there's so many of them.
Well, I understand that you're not the easiest person to convince of things that you don't believe, but that's not at all what I was going to say. I was going to use two plays from the Jacksonville game with Edger and Cooper that illustrate that sometimes
Duval. It
is about how he's still doing that.
I love it.
the difference in two plays, one based purely on how terrific of an athlete and player Edger and Cooper is, and one based on how, with the proper coaching, he was in the right position to make a game-changing play. So there were two plays that earned him the Defensive Player of the Week award that week. One was the strip fumble he had on Trevor Lawrence. And he came on a blitz, which he executed perfectly based on how it was designed by Jeff Hafley and how it was coached by Anthony Campanile. That turns out to be a huge play in the game. On the flip side, the play where he runs the length of the field covering Christian Kirk, who is a fast wide receiver that a linebacker has no business guarding, and breaking up the pass at the very end. Mm-hmm. He actually ran too close to the line of scrimmage when he was showing blitz. He did not do that play correctly at all. Not the way it was coached, but he made the play out of sheer athleticism and talent. And those two plays are the difference, along with the field goal that Brandon McManus makes, the walk-off field goal, and the throw that Malik Willis makes to Reed to put him in field goal position. Those are the four plays that decide that game. There's whatever there are, 100 and some plays in the game, and those are the four plays that decide the game. And at least one of them was because it was executed the way it was coached by a player who wasn't always executing things the way they were coached. The others were talent, whatever you want to view it. But what I'm saying is you lose that game. It seems innocuous on October 27th to lose to an AFC South team. But that could be the difference between you making the playoffs or not. Yeah. So, yes, the margins
I can
are
give
that
you 100
thin.
Examples more important than that one of making the playoffs, and they're almost all with Jordan Love.
No, you can't say that. They all matter. They all matter.
So hold up a second. So Homer, this is what Homer always goes back to, and we all know we spend a vast majority of our time on our various shows talking quarterback, GM, and head coach because they matter. Defensive
wisely so, I would emphasize.
Yes, and I'm not arguing that. But Jason, and you have a lot of driving coming up. I implore you to listen to Matt Patricia and Julian Edelman's podcast. It gives you the margins that you're talking about. You just went through two Super Bowls go the other way. Matt Patricia gets in the ear of the guy that's got the green dot, and he tells him, don't sub out. They're going to run this play. Make sure to tell the corner not to get picked, Malcolm Butler, to make that play. They don't sub. The Seahawks end up running it, and it's exactly drawn up the way the coach. And then the other one to win the other Super Bowl is Dante Hightower. He's in his ear telling him, don't show. We just saw that their third down back got hurt. They're putting Freeman in. He is not going to know if you walk up late, he'll miss you. You go in and strip sack it and make this fumble so we win the game. Both of those plays came to fruition. So coaching matters, Homer, and it makes the Razors difference. We're talking about the Patriots in a whole different way. If they lose those two, they're an average. They only have four Super Bowls, and they lose more. Those two things Jason just went over are exactly – what they have. Jason, before we let you go, I do want you to listen to that. We'll talk about that next week. The other thing, Dancing Danny on our carbless talk and text line, lists is more, just brought up, it's been 5 years. What do you, at some point, when do you put it on the player if their fundamentals and techniques aren't where you want them to be compared to, well, the coaching? Because there's still questions about Jordan Love and his footwork and the consistency he's doing. That's what Dancing Danny. Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, look, I don't want to be misinterpreted here. The responsibility lies with the player, whether you're Mark Tauscher, seventh round pick, or Lucas Van Ness, first round pick. It does the ultimate responsibility. You can if you have a polluted mindset, as Mike McCarthy used to say, you can blame everybody but yourself, right? You can find a way to say, well, it was Joe Barry's system, or it was Jason Rebrovich's coaching, or you know, Matt LaFleur didn't give me enough opportunities. You can say all those things. The good ones recognize that, hey, regardless of this, I didn't do good enough, and I have to be better. And so, you know, when I look, whether it's Love, who, you know, I was saying this to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, too. I'm so fascinated by this season, and it's not like the 2023 season when I said that, because I had no idea what was going to happen. I certainly didn't envision what did happen, but this is a pivotal. This is like that fulcrum off season and then season for so many people here, right? I mean, Matt LaFleur, the seat, you've talked about it. The seat will get warmer if they don't have a better playoff showing than they have had. The Jordan Love development piece with a new, younger, former player, recent former player as his now position coach, I want to see him make a huge jump. You know, he had a guy who helped fix his fundamentals and his footwork and his throwing motion. Those should be farther along because of Tom Clements. Now I'm curious to see how Sean Mannion helps him become an even better player. But this is going to be such a critical year, 2025, in this whole regime, because otherwise, look, they're going to end up, and this is one area where Homer's been right, like they're going to be the Steve Mariucci 49ers. If the quarterback doesn't make a jump, if the head coach doesn't find ways to, you know, make the offense more productive, especially in critical situations. So I do think it's mostly on the player. I don't, let's not misconstrue what we're saying about position coaches that, you know, they can't, I'm not saying Anthony Campanile is such a great coach that he can take, you know, a NAIA backup middle linebacker and turn him into a productive NFL player. You still have to have the talent, the understanding of the system, the intelligence, all those, the measurables, everything you need. But again, he was really, and what I liked about him, and I said this to them this morning, is that I think the best coaches, just like the best leaders, know that you treat everyone equally, but you don't treat them all the same. And he had a really good knack, and has a really good knack, which I'm sure the Jaguars players will find, of, all right, this is a guy that I can chew his ass out, and he'll respond. I got another guy here that I need to put my arm around him and say, hey, you are a better player than this. I know you can find this in yourself. Here's what you got to do to be the best version of yourself. Campanile is great at that. He comes from a family of coaches. His dad is a coaching legend in the high school ranks in New Jersey. All three of his brothers are also coaches. Like, he gets coaching. And so I don't think I oversold him. I think you just have to understand what exactly the responsibility is of the assistant coaches, of the players, of the head coach, et cetera. It all works in concert.
I did have one question about the defensive line coach who got fired. Didn't he get elevated? Mm-hmm. He had been there like, what did he be, 3 years with the Packers, and they elevated him up? Or is that not true?
So he, what's weird about Jason Rebrovich's track, and this is another reason why maybe the change was made, and it's not that he's a crappy coach. It's that he was in a position where he's coaching something that's not his area of expertise. So he actually coached in Jacksonville for a while. I think he was somewhere else too in the NFL. So they bring him in on Joe Barry's defensive staff. He's the outside linebackers coach his first year. Then they give him a different title as pass rush specialist, still in the 3-4 system. So basically he was the edge rushers coach. And then they switch to a 4-3, and Halfley keeps him on, but he's coaching a totally different system than he had been previously. And I think the feeling was that he didn't do a good enough job of getting these guys to make the conversion. Now, going back to what we were just talking about, not a great job by those players of making the conversion either. They have responsibility there.
But they thought he was a pretty good coach, right?
Yeah, but okay. Maybe it just doesn't fit. And I will say this about Covington, their new defensive line coach. Here's a guy who played wide receiver in college, started out coaching linebackers for Bill Belichick, and then they moved him to defensive line. And I found a quote from Belichick from a few years ago talking about this guy. And we know Belichick doesn't rave about people very often. He absolutely raved about how good he is at coaching things, and that's why he was able to have different roles on the Patriots staff. So does that guarantee that he's going to get the best out of Lucas Van Ness and Rashawn Gary? No, it doesn't, because they still have the responsibility of elevating their games on their own. But I'm very curious to see a guy from the Bill Belichick coaching tree, what kind of job he does with the Packers defensive line.
Outstanding stuff. Jason, you are a great guest. You're a wonderful co-host. We miss you. You are a great guest. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde. I thought slapped you around a little bit, Steve. Kind of put you in your place, which I like.
No, he slapped me right. He didn't put me in any place. I don't know about that. This is the time to talk about coaches. Fine.
Indeed. And it also is a time to talk about picking up a little extra spending cash. Head over to FortriaClinicalTrials.com. Bunch of studies. Healthy adults, ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Study 2 stays, 15 nights and 7 follow-ups. You can be compensated $13,820 for your time and participation. Head over to FortriaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortria, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, ClinicalTrials.com. And as usually is the case, usually Jason's hosting the show. We're late. We are with Balaga. We're usually about 10:20. We still have another segment in the 10 o'clock hour. We will do that next.
It's Wilde and Tausch. But I won't cry for yesterday.
Back at it here on Wilde and Tausch. I'm up at the new Pickler facility up in Green Bay. Excited for the big grand opening tomorrow. Steve the Homer True joining us. Jason was great. Just kind of went through the news that the Packers lost their linebackers coach, Campanelli, heard it both ways, to the Jacksonville Jaguars as their new defensive coordinator. Homer, what would you do if you opened up a new package of cough drops and you open the side and you reach in to grab your first cough drop and there is an empty wrapper of a cough drop that was not in the package? Do you know what I'm saying? A total empty cough drop. It's BS. I'm irritated. It was a brand new package, so I ripped it open, grabbed a cough, and the first one is like if somebody had used an old bag and they threw the old wrapper back in there. That's in a brand new bag.
I would be less concerned than you.
It's irritating, though, wouldn't it be?
Yes, it's a little disappointing, but I would still feel comfortable using another cough drop.
No, it's not that. Don't you feel like you're getting taken a little bit?
Only if I don't use a certain amount
of cough drops.
No, I do not feel taken if I get one less cough drop than I thought. No.
Well, and it also makes me a little concerned about the safety of that package, but
I put a cough drop in because
I got a little shtickle in my throat.
No.
You know what?
It does not. You are not concerned. Just take that back.
Okay.
You are not concerned about your safety.
I'm irritated. I'm not irritated. Every time I'm on the road, I will stop, get my Karuba coffee from Quick Trip. And life is busy. Quick Trip gets it. Whether you're craving that fresh coffee I had, a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab-and-go meal, Quick Trip is your go-to. variety and quality, fast service. Quick Trip's team is all about making your day easier and better. From clean restrooms to fresh groceries and everything in between, Quick Trip's got you covered. Free air. You know, it's been warm out. Great car washes. Now they got great appetizers. They're on special. Crispy tornadoes. Packed with those bold fillings.
Everything they do is great. Everything.
I couldn't agree more, and I never agree with you on anything.
I want to know the most people. I was in a Quick Trip. I swear there were 50 people inside getting in line.
What's the most? They got.
I know.
They got everything.
People go there to eat now on a regular basis.
They had $3 quarter pounders last night. That was fantastic. That was my dinner.
Yeah, their chicken. I tell you, the chicken is the best. The tenders, the rotisserie on Monday. They have everything you're looking for. Now they have pizzas on sale. $9.99 for traditional, $6.99 for a thin crust. Plus, the Quickery white bread is only 99 cents a loaf. And apples and oranges and pears. Oh, my. 3 for $1.49. You can also just grab lean ground beef, 16 ounces for $2.99. So you make dinner, you get snacks, you get it all. Last night, we grabbed some of those smoothies. Kids love them. Head over to Quick Trip. Take advantage of everything they have to order ahead or curbside delivery. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time. Homer, I want to start the 10 o'clock hour with something I discussed yesterday. Got very heated with a couple of buddies last night about the Nizer Forkarine and college eligibility. Where we're at in the college landscape.
Yeah, I got some help. I can help you with that guy at Wisconsin,
okay.
Too.
Great. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on that. We have Rob Domofsky coming up at 10:30. We'll do that all next in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.